Can we just lift our hands and worship the Lord and thank Him for what He's doing today? And there's still so much to be done in the country of Colombia, still so many cities with no United Pentecostal Church. So we desire your prayers that the Lord can keep pouring out His Spirit on the country of Colombia. For just a few minutes this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 6. And if you have come to this place this morning with a need, if you're going through a situation in your life, if you have a sickness in your body, the Lord is here today. And He can reach down in a mighty way and He can do great things in this service. Book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that He entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched Him, whether He would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against Him. But He knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, He said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with one another what they might do to Jesus. And for just a few moments this morning, I'd like to speak on the thought, when God does not ask for our very best, when He loves us as we are, in spite of all of our faults, in spite of all of our failures, in spite of all of our mistakes, in spite of all of the things that we've done that we wish we could undo, when He loves us as we are, He still expects repentance. There still must be a change, a transformation. But He loves us as we are. As human beings, we always want to show our best, and we always want to hide our faults and our failures. We always want to pretend that everything is okay, even though maybe deep down inside we're going through a terrible situation, a discouragement, a depression, or some kind of situation in our lives. We always want to pretend that everything is okay. We never want to go anywhere with the hair out of place. We never want a blemish upon our skin. We never want a spot or a stain upon our clothing. We always want everything to seem perfect. We come to church and maybe we're going through a terrible situation. We go in our jobs and maybe we've been up in the midnight hour crying and worrying and fretting. But we still put on the smile because we want to pretend that everything is okay. But so often things are not really okay. As human beings, we want to always hide what is wrong. And we always want to make believe that everything is okay. But the Lord still loves us even in those difficult times. Even when we try to hide, the Lord still loves us. Another example of hiding, sometimes men who don't have much hair, they'll go and they'll buy a toupee. "Well, not me. What you see is what you get. This is what I really am." And you may not believe me when I say this, but when I was 19 years old, I had hair. I had waves like the ocean sea. Back in those days, I didn't use a comb. I used what we called in high school a rake. Well, nowadays, I don't need a rake or a comb. Now it's just wash and wear. I used to have waves like the ocean sea. But now the tide has gone out. And now all I have left is the beach. But normally, we want to dress nice, we want to look nice, we want to smell nice, and we want to hide when something's going wrong. But the sad thing is sometimes people want to hide from God. We read in Genesis, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid.'" Sometimes people want to hide from God. Revelation, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Sometimes people want to hide from the presence of God. And what I never could understand is how can people who felt his love and felt his mercy and felt his goodness and felt his touch, why do they still want to hide from God? We have a friend in Colombia. He's our friend. He loves my wife and I. But really and truly, he absolutely hates churches. And he hates Christians. And more than anything else, he hates pastors. But he loves my wife and I. He says, you guys are for real. He comes to our house and he says, I can feel something here. I can feel a peace here. He's come to church with us several times. And I remember once he ran up to the altar, lifted up his hands with tears in his eyes, and he began to worship and feel the presence of the Lord. But all of a sudden he stopped and he ran from the church, even though he's felt God's presence, felt God's touch. He still prefers to run. We should never run from the Lord. We should never run from his presence. Instead, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. John 20:19, then the same day at evening during the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. He didn't come with words of rebuke. He didn't come with words that were harsh. He instead, all he said was, peace be unto you. When you're in your deepest, darkest moment, you see, sometimes we want to close the doors of our heart, and sometimes we want to try to hide from the Lord, but he will come looking for us. We should never hide from Jesus. Instead, it's time to open up the doors of our hearts and say, Lord, here I am. Everything that is wrong, everything that I've made, every mistake that I've made, here I am, Lord, I give myself to you. We don't need to hide ourselves from God. We can hide ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Psalm 17:8, hide me under thy wings, the shadow of thy wings. We don't need to hide from God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. So now there are many people gathered at the synagogue. There are some people who are angry. There are those who are critical. There are those who are looking around. There are those who have come only to look for fault and to look for things that are wrong. But there was one man there that had a need. His right hand was withered. And what is on our minds this day? What is on our hearts this day as we come into this holy house? Have we come fearful and worried? Have we come doubting? Have we come conscious of mistakes that we have made? Are we worried about tomorrow and things that may never come? Or have we come to this place with one thought on our hearts, to lift up holy hands and to worship that name that is above every name? So many things going through the hearts and the minds of those people that day, so long ago. But there was one man there who had a need. And I would imagine that all his life, he was always hiding his hand, always making sure that his hand was hidden. And I would imagine that Sabbath service, when he came that day, perhaps he came late to avoid having to greet anybody. Perhaps he made his way and he sat in some corner of the room with his hand against the wall, making sure that his hand was well hidden. Maybe as the service was taking place, maybe he kind of slumped down behind the person that was sitting in front of him. Always hiding. Always hiding. Yes. All of his life, hiding. And can you imagine the fear that filled his heart in the moment when the Lord said, stand, and singled him out? Stand and come forth in the midst. Can you imagine the terror that filled his heart in those moments? I would imagine as he made his way up to the front, he did everything that he could to make sure that his hand was well hidden. And even though he was hiding his hand, he probably heard the whispers of people as he made his way up to the front. That's him. That's the man with the ugly hand. No matter how hard we try to hide that something's wrong, there will always, always, always be someone who knows that something is amiss and that we're hurting deep down inside. He comes and he stands in the midst. And then the Lord says, "Stretch forth thy hand." I would imagine the seconds passed by like an eternity. And maybe there was a gasp from the crowd that day when they realized he's always hidden his hand. He'll never show what he really is. And maybe that man, for those few seconds, maybe he stood there frozen like a deer in the headlights. Maybe he was thinking, "I can show my good hand, and I can keep pretending, I can keep hiding, and I can keep pretending that everything's okay." But when he stretched forth his withered hand, that is when the miracle happened. When he quit hiding, when he quit pretending, when he said, "This is what I really am," that's when the miracle happened. "Here I am, Lord. Everything that's wrong, this is what I really am. No more hiding, no more pretending, no more make-believe. I need Jesus." But the critics, the angry, the judges, they didn't receive a miracle. And every one of us here today in this holy place, all of us need some type of healing from the Lord. It may be a healing of our hearts. It may be a healing of hurts. It may be a healing of words that were cruelly spoken to us. It may be a healing of the guilt of something that we've done wrong. It may be a healing in our bodies. But we all need Jesus today. This may be the first time that you've ever come to this place. Friend, you need Jesus. Or maybe you've served the Lord 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But you see, the thing is, even good, godly, holy, faithful, sanctified people still need Jesus. We never get to the place where we no longer need Him. We need a new touch. We need a fresh touch. We need to feel His presence again. Psalm 107. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word." Every time the good pastor gets up to this pulpit and preaches the word of God, the Lord is sending His counsel. He's sending His word. He's sending His word to give us direction, to show us the way that we should go. He sends His word and heals them and delivers them from their destructions. Psalm 103, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Some of us can get so angry so quickly. The Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. An everlasting mercy. A mercy that lasts forever. A mercy that does not get tired of forgiving again and again and again and again, because it's an everlasting mercy. It's here today, and it's here tomorrow, and it's going to be here next month and next year, an everlasting mercy. Even the great apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." We all need Jesus. Can we just close our eyes just for a moment? The musicians can come. We all need Jesus. My dear mother-in-law, she passed away 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. She was 97. She had been filled with the Holy Ghost for 85 years. received the Holy Ghost when she was 12 back in the Brush Arbor days. Everyone had received the Holy Ghost, but she hadn't. So she went up into the hayloft of a barn. I'm not leaving this place until I receive that gift of the Holy Ghost. Lifted up her hands and began to worship. A few moments later, began to speak in that heavenly language. Living for the Lord, faithful for the Lord. She got married, gave birth to 15 kids. 3 died in childbirth, 12 lived. And as a young woman around 1962, 1963, my father-in-law, who didn't live for the Lord, took her, their 12 kids, and left them in the hills of Virginia in a small village, abandoned them, left them in a little shack, pot-bellied stove, holes in the floor, holes in the walls. The cold winter wind would enter in. They had no resources, no money, no income. Some of the younger kids needed shoes. But that dear, good, godly woman, she could have given in to despair. She could have given in to discouragement. She could have yielded to depression. But instead she said, "As for me and my house, we are going to live for the Lord." Every Sunday, she took her 12 kids and they went to different churches round about in the area, looking for a Jesus name, one God, Holy Ghost filled church that taught the truth and the whole truth. Every Sunday, looking at a new place, trying to find the right place. One Sunday morning, they entered into a church. It seemed like everything was okay. The first few moments, it seemed like everything was well. She breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe this is the place. And then people began reaching underneath their pews in little baskets and pulling out the rattlesnakes. "No, kids, this isn't the place." Went back to her house. She could have yielded to depression. She could have given in to discouragement. She could have let herself be overwhelmed. But that dear godly woman said, "Me and my house, we are going to live for the Lord." The next Sunday in the living room of her house, she got up in her house with her Bible in hand and she started having church for her kids. After a time, the neighbors began to come. And the last I heard, there was still a Jesus name church in that city that started, that had its roots in a woman who said, "We are going to live for God," in spite of everything that went wrong. Sometimes faith isn't just miracles. It's not just raising the dead. It's not just opening the eyes of the blind. But sometimes faith is just keep on going no matter what comes your way. Keep on going no matter what comes our way. No matter the storms of life, no matter the tempest, no matter the dark clouds, we keep on going. But Paul said that same faith in thy grandmother and thy mother and also in thee. I'm going to ask my wife to come and close with a prayer. And everywhere that we go, in Colombia, the States, or Canada, when she closes with prayer, and when people begin to worship, when people begin to worship, the Lord begins to do things. We don't get our miracle from God by begging. Begging does not get God's attention. We don't get our miracle from the Lord by making deals, because we never keep our part of the bargain anyway. But when we just get our eyes off of the storms and get our eyes off of the waves, just lift our hands and begin to love Him and worship Him, that's when things begin to happen. Do you need something from Jesus today? Do you need the Holy Ghost? Are you going through a tempest in your life? Are you going through a storm? Do you have a sickness in your body? It was back about 6 or 7 months ago in one church. Before service, a woman asked for a prayer. She was losing her hearing. She was going to have surgery a few days later. But in the midst of service, nothing that I did, nothing that Sister Guidry did, she was just in a corner worshiping, just worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, she put her hands up to her ears. She said, "I can hear the Lord has healed me." When we worship, Another woman a few months ago came to church in a wheelchair. She hadn't been able to walk for 4.5 years because of the intense pain. But during service, nothing I did, nothing Sister Guidry did, just a group of people around her worshiping and exalting that name that is above every name. The woman got up and began to walk all around the church. When we worship, when we begin to love Him, that's when things begin to happen. Can we stand together? And I would invite you, if you need Jesus today, if your heart is overwhelmed, if your heart is fearful, if you're feeling doubtful, if you're feeling guilty about mistakes that you've made, why not just make your way up to the front and just begin to worship that name that is above every name. And great things will begin to happen. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is in the house this morning. Hallelujah. He came, He arrived here earlier than we did. And I feel just as in the days when Jesus walked the earth, when this man had a withered hand, I believe Jesus is walking the aisles this morning. Hallelujah. You can't see Him, but you can feel Him when you say, Jesus, Jesus. You feel His presence. And maybe you don't have a withered hand this morning, but maybe your life is withered. Hallelujah. Or maybe you have something else, a sickness that you've been sick for many years. God can heal you this morning. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're embarrassed about things. Maybe nobody knows what you're going through. Maybe a few people. But this morning you can come and you can take it out. And you can say, here it is, Jesus. Oh, heal me, Jesus. I invite you to come if you have a need this morning. Or if you just want to worship the Lord because He's so awesome. He's so worthy of praise. I invite you to come. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Ghost. Your life is withered. You can come and you can say, forgive me, God, of my sins. God, I'm not going to do those sins anymore. Forgive me, God. Take them out and leave them here. God is not judging anybody. And there is nobody perfect here in this house. We all fall. We all fail Jesus. But it's time to get back up and say, here, God. Oh, I need you, Jesus. I grew up in the church. But you know what? Every day I tell the Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Just begin to talk to Him. Don't beg Him. Just begin to worship Him. And with faith, ask God to heal you, to fill you. Just worship. No pleading, no begging. Just worship. Oh, let's pray together. Let's worship together. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for being so awesome, God. Faithful God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Just let it go. Oh, He's moving this morning. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Receive your healings this morning. Receive it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus.